Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be along this morning. We pray God to bless our time together as we come to His house and to worship Him. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together. Maybe, do you stand? Yes, okay. Some churches sit, some stand. And we're going to sing this psalm together, Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Standing, please. Unite our hearts together. Let's seek the Lord and His blessing to be upon us today. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of being able to come into your house. Even, Lord, come into the presence of the Lord. We come in the great name, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can certainly say, nothing in our hands we bring, but simply to the cross we cling. And we come in the great name of Christ into thy presence, Lord, to praise thee, to praise the God of our salvation. We were singing about that this morning here in our psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that in me is. Lord, bless his holy name. O Lord, your people, those who are saved this morning have much to bless thee for, to thank the Lord for the wonderful salvation that's found in Jesus Christ, that mercy, that life, Lord, that fullness of peace that's found, Lord, down at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that's given to your people, the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of God, everlasting life. We have a friend. We have a friend in this world, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus. And his wonderful presence, Lord, and we have his wonderful promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, Lord, we have come to your house. We thank you for thy mercies. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the food, the health and strength, Lord, that we all have, for blessing us throughout the past week, for keeping us safe. The psalmist could say, the Lord is my keeper. And Lord, you've kept us and you've watched over us. And we have come today, Lord, to praise thee. Oh Lord, I pray, draw our hearts out after thee today in this meeting. We know we can come to God's house and Lord, we can go through the motions. We can pretend to sing and we're not singing at all. We can pretend to listen to the word of God being preached. And Lord, our mind may be somewhere else. Oh God, I pray, let our meditation of thee be sweet today. May our focus be on the Lord Jesus. May it be uplifted in everything of this meeting, in the reading of the word, in the preaching of the word. Lord, that we would see Jesus, our great Savior. Oh, bless us. Bless everyone who's bowed in thy presence. Be with them. Meet their every need. Some may have great burdens and trials and troubles of life. Lord, they come to all of us, and they come in all shapes and forms. I pray that you will be with them and strengthen their faith today in the house of God. And for those, Lord, who's not saved, I pray, have mercy upon them. They may come to God's house. They may listen to the word of a living God, but they've never come to Christ. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Lord, I pray that the day they will be saved, oh, bring them down to the feet of Christ that they might trust them. They may look to Christ and put their faith and trust in the one who was the Savior and who was the only Savior. Oh, be with us here. Bless Mr. McMillan. He's away preaching today. Bless him. Make his ministry a blessing, Lord, to the people there in Kikil. Bless the work here in Armagh. There's much ground yet to be possessed. And we pray you'll move in the city and move in the hearts of many people. And add to this congregation, add to this church daily, Lord, such as should be saved. Continue with us and bless our time now. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together another hymn, and it's 537. 537. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? So 537, and we'll stand to sing again, please. About the screens, you don't have to put these on, and maybe Specsavers are going out of business, so I had to put them on to do the reading. So there you are. So I had to put them on. The book of Judges, and we're going to go to the book of Judges, And I'm going to break into the reading really here in the chapter 7, the book of Judges. And we're going to break into the reading of verse 19. It's going to be a battle, of course, going to take place here in the middle of the nights. And Gideon is 300 men. And we want to break into the reading then here of this in Judges chapter 7 and the verse 19. Judges and chapter 7 and verse 19. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came on to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And there stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Seroth, and to the border of Abel-Meholah and Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher, out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, "Why has I served us thus, that I callest us not, when I want us to fight with the Midianites?" And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, "What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. What was I able to do in comparison of you?" Then their anger was abated toward him. And when he had said that, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint and yet pursuing them. Amen. And we pray the Lord to bless that short reading of His Word to all of our hearts this morning. We're going to call on our brother Billy. He's going to come and give announcements, please. Thank you.
We welcome everyone to our morning service, and if you're a visitor with us, you're especially welcome. We also give a special welcome to our preacher this morning, Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist under the mission board. Tonight, 6 p.m., the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m., the evening gospel service. Mr. Shields will again be the preacher. Tuesday, 7:30 p.m., the outreach team will be meeting at the church. We encourage as many as possible to get involved in the outreach work. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the midweek meeting. The Kenyan pastors will be reporting and speaking at the meeting. We invite you to come to the meeting and avail of the opportunity to hear them speak. Thursday, 7:30 p.m., the meeting of the Kirk session of the church. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., the commencement of the missionary conference in Lisburn. Preacher on Saturday night is the Reverend Harris. Subject, understanding, consecration, and God's service. There are cards available in the porch with the details of all the meetings. Next Lord's Day, the 8th of May, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m., the morning service. Miss Noreen McAfee will report and show a video on her work in Uganda. Anyone who would like to give a gift to Miss McAfee's support can place it in the offering plate next Sunday in an envelope marked for Miss McAfee. 6 p.m. prayer meeting, 6:30 p.m. evening service. Preacher at the evening service will be the Reverend McMillan. These are all the announcements.
Well, we thank our brother Billy for the warm words of welcome. It's always nice to come to the church here in Armagh, and it's really my home city. Although it was a few miles, Glen Allen's a bit of a distance from here, but it's nice to come back to the home country, home county, after living and live up in Allalong at this particular time. So it's lovely to come along and to bring the Word of God, and pray God to bless our time together around His Word. Just a few words about what we're at the minute. You know, I'm an evangelist in the Free Presbyterian Church Mission Board. I go around doing missions, open airs, beyond the streets here in Armagh, doing open airs, giving out tracts as well. So it's good to hear about the outreach team. And if you're not involved in the outreach team, then you should really seriously think about it and give your time to that, giving out the Word of God around homes and bringing the gospel to people. So Colin and Maxwell and I work together at the moment. We're doing gospel missions. We were in Newcastle, way up there, not far from myself there in Allalong. Had a mission at school for a couple of weeks, and we brought the Word of God there to those who came to hear. It's very difficult to get people in, I must confess, from the town of Newcastle, but others were brought in from our churches and so on, and to hear the Word of God and the way of salvation. Now, at the minute, we're down in Belfast, and we're down just off the Shankill Road. We have a church there, as you know, John Knox Memorial, and we're down in the Shankill Road doing door-to-door visitation throughout the week, knocking the doors and bringing the gospel to the people and inviting them along to the mission. The mission actually starts tonight. I'll be here, so Colin will be starting the meeting, the mission there in our church tonight. So really do pray for that. Pray that God will bless the sowing of a seed. Now, I want to say this. You speak to more people out doing outreach than there will be in the meeting. And that is true of all the works we do for Christ. You meet people out on the streets, you'll meet them on their doorsteps and giving out the gospel of Christ. And that's what I found knocking doors around Belfast at this particular time. You have opportunities. I'm not saying everybody's jumping up and down with glee, glad to see you at the door when you want to talk about Christ. It's not the case, but you do get opportunities to tell people the way of salvation through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. So really do pray for the mission. Starts us on for 2 weeks. Difficult work, difficult place. And we pray God to move in hearts and that He'll bring people to a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to Gyarva after that, and then I'm in Banbridge and so on, and other works throughout the summer. And we've got the year booked up, really, with missions here, there, and yonder throughout the land of Northern Ireland. So do pray for us as we bring the Word of God out. We do thank you for those who do pray and do support us in our ministry by praying for us, and those who support us financially onto the mission board. We certainly want to thank you again for that. So it's lovely to be along, and we pray the Lord to bless our time together around the Word of God. But go to His Word now, and then we'll keep the last hymn. There's another hymn, and we'll keep that. We can sing whatever's left of our preaching time and after me. So turn to Judges, please, and chapter 8. Now, we read 7, but our text is actually found in Judges chapter 8, the portion that we read together. Judges chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "And Gideon came to Jordan, and passed over he and the 300 men that were with him, and said these words, faint, yet pursuing them." Faint and yet pursuing. Let's look to the Lord and let's pray that God will bless us around His Word and have a word for your heart. And if you're saved, you'll go out encouraged today. That's what it's all about, being encouraged by the Word of the living God. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'll be with us and you'll bless our time together around the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. Let it come today with clarity, simplicity. Let Thy Word come with power, Lord, to our hearts. Let it come, Lord, even with a challenge to our hearts today. Oh, may we be strengthened in our faith in walking and living for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, in a wicked and in this dark world. I ask for help. I ask for this fullness, the Spirit of a living God to be given to me. as I bring your word to this people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I've said, my text this morning is very short and simple. Written about these 300 men. It says this, remember, this is God's report of them. They were faint and yet pursuing. You and I know, as we turn in the Bible to the Old Testament, we can read and we can learn wonderful lessons from the Old Testament saints. We can learn about their faith, how they lived by faith, how they walked by faith. We can think of Abraham. God challenged him. God came to Abraham and said, well, take thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. And you can read in that passage how he took his son Isaac and how he was about to plunge that knife into the very bosom of his son as a sacrifice to God, believing that God would raise him up again from the dead. And you find that in the book of Hebrews, in the divine interpretation of the passage. He believed God. What faith he displayed there in the book of Genesis. We can learn about their feelings. Oh, we don't have to read too far in the Bible. We can read how the saints of God, how they fell, how they failed God, even Adam and Eve, living in the Garden of Eden. Without sin, they fell, and they failed. Oh, we can think of David, a holy man of God, man who loved God with all of his heart, and yet he fell, and yet he failed. Is it not sad today that we fail? Maybe in the past week, there is someone who has fallen badly. And maybe you have failed, and you feel perhaps in your heart this morning, in God's house, I'm a failure. Well, take heart. The Bible paints men, you know what he does? Warts and all. Warts and all. How we feel our God, the God we love, the Savior that we follow. Remember, just in case you think that none of us will ever fall in any shape or form in this world, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's written, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We don't want to get too sure of ourselves. I'm strong. I stand. I will never fail God. I will never go away from Jesus Christ. There has been many people have said those words, and they have fallen. We can learn from these people to take heed to ourselves, that we will not fail, that we will not fall. Yet when we come, we can think about our text. We can learn about our fainting. The Bible speaks about God's people being faint. Faint, yet pursuing. The word faint, you know what it means? Weary. They're wearied. These men who were following Gideon, they're faint. They are weary, and I've no doubt this may sum up some people this morning in God's house. After you're saved for many years, you're following Christ, you're living for Him, you're seeking to do all you can for your blessed Savior, you're praying, you're at the prayer meetings. But this morning you're faint. You're weary, feeling faint. It's a common experience for, I say, all of God's people. We can come across this. Feeling weary. Feeling tired. Feeling frustrated. Feeling defeated. Is that something you up here today in God's house? Like these soldiers, these men, set aside, they're following Gideon, they're fighting the cause of God, and yet they're faint. Yet pursuing. And I want to look at this morning and close a moment and offer a meeting. Faint yet pursuing. I want to think about the cause of their fainting. Why was it these men were faint? Now, there's a number of reasons we can think about. You can think about their steps. In other words, how they were walking. You can read over there in chapter 7, verse 25, or chapter 7, verse 12, that the enemies, they had camels without number. These were the Midianites. They were like grasshoppers. They were a great army. They had their camels. They could get up onto their camel's back to go to battle and to go to war. But it was not so with these 300 men. They had no donkeys. They had no camels. They were on foot. They were walking. Much ground was covered. The ground was difficult. The ground was hard. They were wearied. They were walking. They were walking. They were pursuing. They were following their enemy. And they were getting it hard. And they were wearied. We think over there in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of the wilderness, or through the wilderness, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass all the, past the land of Eden, and their soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In Numbers 21, verse 4, they were discouraged. They were discouraged. Why were they discouraged? Because of the way. They were wearied. This happens to many of God's people. Their walk is difficult. It's difficult. It's hard. They seem to be uphill. And they're struggling. And they're struggling. God never said it would be easy. I want you to hear that again. God never said it's going to be easy for you and I to get to heaven. He never said that at all. In fact, he tells us the complete opposite of it. Do you remember over in Acts 22, or Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And notice the words these men of God were preaching to the people. They're saying to them, listen, it's through much tribulation you'll enter in. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And we feel that everything's against you. You think of Elijah. Remember over 1 Kings and the chapter 19. Do you remember that man sat down and he said, it is enough. It is enough. He says, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He's had enough. You see, he was wearied. He's wearied, by the way, and his walk. Is there someone this morning in the congregation? And the very text sums up where you are right now. He said, Noel, I feel wearied. And my walk with God, it's difficult. It's one trial after the other. Opposition seems to be coming against me. I'm struggling. I feel I'm going uphill. I find it hard. I feel I've given up. You see, just like these men, they were wearied. They were wearied. Everybody, I say, everybody of God's people gets it difficult in this world. Sometimes we look at someone and say as well, they never have any troubles. They never have any fears. They never have any battles. How do you know? How do you know? There's a lot of people here this morning that's carrying troubles in their heart, and none of us knows. But God knows. So they were wearied about their walk. You know, we do not follow someone who says Jesus or God's will because it's easy. We do it because it's right. We do follow God's way because it's the best way. It may be the difficult way. But we follow him. And these men, they were weary. They had no camels. They were walking. Should I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? That's what we stood there and we sang. We want to be carried, don't we? We want all rosy and cozy and no bother, but that's not the way how it's going to be. We have the battle. We have the fight. It's difficult sometimes. Their steps. Now what about their sleep? It says in verse 19, chapter 7, in the middle watch of the night. This is when the battle was going on. It was 10 to 2 o'clock, it was the middle watch of the night in the morning. And they broke their pitchers. The surprising attack upon the camp of their enemies. And they fought the battle. You think then they'll all go home and go to bed? Not a bit of it. They're going on. And so we find here there's no rest. There's no sleep for these men. They're walking in the battle. And now there's no rest for them. So they're wearied. They're wearied. And I want to say to the child of God today, if you don't rest now, that is true physically. If you don't get your sleep and don't get your rest physically, you will be wearied. You'll be wearied. Maybe I look around this morning, maybe see some people who is wearied. Isn't that right? Sometimes when you come to church, you can see that. You may be wearied. Not much sleep. Maybe the children is crying in the middle of the night. Their mothers is running about sometimes throughout the night. Maybe the fathers as well, by the way. Lack of sleep physically. Lack of rest will make you wearied. But listen. Listen this morning. Don't get your rest spiritually. You'll be wearied. You know what the Bible tells us in Psalm 37 and verse 7? Rest in the Lord. And there are times in our life we've got to rest. It's difficult. We're busy. We're running here, there, and yonder. There are things to do. There are places to go to. And we're wearied. But if you do not rest, if you do not rest in the Lord, you'll be wearied. You've got to rest. Maybe over Luke chapter 10 without turning to it. Martha and Mary. Mary's sitting. She's resting at the feet of Jesus. Martha's going about. She's cumbered about. She's anxious. She's cross. She's bitter. You see, she has no rest within her soul. Why? Because she's not resting. She's not resting in the Lord. And she's feeling bitter and restless. If you don't rest in the Lord, you'll be wearied. Just by faith, cast yourself upon Christ, our great Savior, and realize that all around us and all underneath are the everlasting arms of God. He's with His people. These fellows had no sleep. Therefore, they're wearied. Are you wearied this morning? Not talking about physically. Spiritually. Are you wearied? You need a rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The Lord Jesus Christ says, and I will give you rest. There's rest with Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him and rest. Take time to do that, of course. And then, of course, there was their supplies as well. We see in verse 8 of this chapter, they took victuals with them. That was their food. But all their food was gone. And that's why we find in chapter 8, verse 5, that he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. Here's Gideon coming to these men of Succoth. We need bread. We need food. He says the same words in verse 8 to the men of Penuel there as well. We need food. The men are starving. They've eaten up all their food. They're lacking food. Therefore, they're wearied. All their supplies was gone. They're out on the battlefield. They look around in this bag and this bag. They're looking all around them. There's no food. And they're faint. And they're lacking energy. And the word faint can be translated thirsty as well, translated that way in Psalm 143 and the verse 6. But these men were faint because of lack of supplies. No bread, no food. And that's the same. I say to you this morning, this is true of a child of God. Perhaps you're feeling faint this morning, spiritually speaking. Perhaps you feel you cannot take another step. Why is it? Is it lack of spiritual supplies? What I mean is, neglect of the Word of God gets you weak. Do you remember it says over in Acts 20, verse 32, and he says, now, brethren, I commend you to God. And notice these words, and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. And notice this, he's saying to them, I recommend this to you, the word of his grace, the word of God, the scriptures, is able to do something for you. And what's it able to do? Well, it's able to build you up. It's able to make you strong. That's what it's able to do. Which I remember when I was a wee fella, I was very skinny. I suppose you say, well, you've changed a bit now. But I remember my mom taking me to the doctor. Is that worried about me? I was just like a stick. And he took a look up and he says, there's nothing wrong with that fella. And I remember he gave me a bottle of tonic you had to take and it was rotten. But it must have worked. I don't need any tonics now, by the way. But nevertheless, I was weak. To build me up, they tried to give me this, to get me built up a bit as a wee lad. If you want to be strong, if you want to be a strong Christian, we need to get into the Bible. We need to read the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of the living God. It's able, you see, to build us up. Remember this. God's word's like meat. It's said it's like honey. It's said it's be like bread. It's like milk. This is our spiritual food. And if we don't spend time with the word of God, then we're going to get weak. Maybe you wonder, why am I a weak Christian? You look at some other child of God in the meeting and say, why, they're strong and they're standing strong for God and I'm so weak. It's because they feed themselves in the word of God. That's why. And you're weary. And you're weak. And you're wondering why you're not a strong Christian. Well, the Word of God's able to build you up. You need to get into this book. You need to come to Bible studies. You need to read and study the Word of God at home to build you up, to make you strong. And claim the promise of God that helps us to walk with God in a very difficult world. We need to spend time with God also. Can I say at the throne of grace? Remember the Lord Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. And the Lord Jesus is showing us something else here. And it supplies, spiritual supplies to make us strong. We need to pray. And men need to pray and not to faint. And what's he saying here? Well, if you don't pray, if you don't seek God, he says you're going to faint. You're going to be wearied. So we need to pray. We need to read the word of the living God. And if we neglect the word of God, and if we neglect the place of prayer, then we get wearied. And we get tired of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you this morning in this congregation? Or those who's listening on the internet? You're wearied. What about your private life with God? What about your times of prayer? What about your times of coming to God's Word? Have you read it? Did you read it in the past week? And then I asked you how many meals you had in the last week. Maybe quite a few. How many chapters of the Bible did you read in the past week? How much time did you spend with God at the throne of grace? A bit of wonder you're wearied. The Word of God to build us up. And spend time with God in prayer. And also, can I say, the size of these souls. Notice, there was only 300 of them. We didn't take time to read that chapter, chapter 7. But God reduced the army from 32,000 to 300. He said to them, there's too many here. There's too many in this army. They'll take all the glory. And he says, whosoever is fearful, let him return. Do you know how many people returned home? 22,000. 22,000 says, well, tell you what, they looked out at the Midianites, they were like grasshoppers, they had their camels, they said, oh no, I have had enough. 22,000 were afraid and went home. And what did God say to him? You read it there in chapter 7. He says, there's still too many. What? There's still too many. Take them down to the waters and test them. How do you drink the waters? And he took them down to the waters. There was only the men who drank correctly out of their hand. 300. And they watched 900 and 9,700 leave the ranks. Well, could you imagine that, but like? The whole pressure's now on us. 300. The ranks are well thinned. And so you think about these men. These men, no doubt, felt the pressure. No, God fought for them. We know that, of course. No, but I wonder if faint. There seem to be very few. And sometimes God's people can feel the pressure of the work of God because they're few. The Lord Jesus Christ said, remember over Matthew 9, verse 37, the laborers are few. They're few. Elijah said himself, remember he sat down one time and he said, I am left. He looked this way, he looked that way, he looked all around him. He couldn't see another one. He was wrong, of course. By 7,000 God had kept, who had not bowed a knee to Balaam. But they were faint. And sometimes I say that God's people can feel faint because of the fewness. Now, there's a good congregation here today, but I have preached in churches and in congregations over my ministry where there's literally only been a few. I have preached to one man, by the way, at one time, myself. I've preached maybe to two people in a gospel service, and there's a woman on the organ, maybe there are three. And so that can get you down. You're looking for people to stand for Jesus Christ and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help in the work of God. A call went out today here to the congregation. Who can help give out gospel tracts? Surely there's people here in this congregation can walk. I'm taking everyone can walk. Some people can't. Surely there's everybody here can open a gate. Surely you can push a letterbox. And if you don't practice at home in your own letterbox, walk up your own path and hit the letterbox, put the track in. Surely we all can do that. There's a work for the Lord Jesus we all can do. And sometimes we feel faint. It just always seems perhaps to fall on the same shoulders. On the same people. I know this as I go around different churches. We need new life. We need new people that says, I'll stand for Jesus Christ. I will live for the Lord Jesus. I'll help out. I'll do whatever. I may not be able to get up and preach. No one's asking you to get up and preach. Now, certain people can get up and preach. Certain people can't. But there's a little work for the Lord Jesus we all can do. And you feel weary, do you see? The same people at the front, the same people doing all the duties. You can feel wearied. Now, there are many other things, of course. There's the devil. There's ourselves, the old nature within. There's sin. There's all these battles. There are things in this world that can make us wearied in our walk with God. Are you wearied this morning? Maybe I haven't touched the cause of your problem. I trust I have. But here's the reality. In walking and in following the Lord Jesus, you can be wearied. You can feel wearied. Then I want to speak about their commitment. Notice what the text says. The faint yet pursuing. Here's the conduct of these men. They continued. They continued in their search and fight against their enemies. They did not stop. They did not ask others to take their place. No, no. They continued. Were they tired? Yes. Were they discouraged? Yes. Were they wearied? Yes. Did they stop? Did they stop? No, they didn't. They weren't for stopping. They pursued. The word pursued means to run after. They're running after these other men. Enemies to follow or to hunt. They were not for quitting. They were not for quitting. They were wearied. But they were yet pursuing. And they were committed here to going on in their conduct. We can see this. Faint yet pursuing. This should be the spirit that the Christian should show. Some says, I'm stopping. I'm stopping. I stop coming to church. I stop reading my Bible. I'll stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will run away. But that's not how we are to react. That's not how these men reacted. This says we are not for stopping. We're going on. They had given themselves wholly up to this holy war, and they were not stopping. They were fate yet pursuing. And that's what you and I've got to do. To show our commitment to Christ. We've got to pursue on. Did the Lord Jesus Christ stop? Did the Lord Jesus, when he was whipped and mocked and spat upon, did he stop? When he felt the pressure of it all upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood, did he stop? He went on. He went on to the cross for you and I and bled and died upon the cross. He didn't stop. And you and I, we're not to stop. We're not to turn back in this war for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to pursue. We are to follow on. You can see this commitment in their conduct, and you can see it in their courage. See, it's Spurgeon. He said, faint, but not faint-hearted. This showed, you know, the courage of these men pressing on. They were pressing on. They were courageous. They had great enemies to overthrow, but they were full of courage. We're pressing on, and we're going on. And that's what we've got to do. Who has not been touched, as we saw a few weeks ago, of the war in Ukraine? It's still going on at the moment. But my heart was touched to seeing people standing and saying, we ain't going turning back. We're going to fight. Just ordinary people, actually. And there's actually ladies as well who says, we are not stopping. We're going on in this fight. The courage, it touched my heart. And if you and I is going to go on with God, we've got to be courage, filled with courage. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be difficult. It may be hard. But we've got to stand for Christ. They showed their courage. They remember here also, you can think about their commitment and their call. Because they have been called to this battle. Now you can find that over in chapter 7 and verse 7 of this particular book. Remember the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. God said, you see these 300 men? Now remember, there were thousands away. These 300 men, these are the men I'm going to use for the victory. They have been called by God. It was God who had put them into this battle, into this warfare. It was God who was stirring them up to pursue. They were called to face and to fight their enemies. The heavenly calling of God was upon them. How could they stop? How could they stop? When God had called them for this. We must remember, child of God, this morning, that we are saved by grace. I'm speaking to those who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and saved by grace. That God has chosen us for the battle for the faith. He's chosen us for the battle for the faith. He tells, remember Paul writing to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. This made me go out and throw the coat off and take out guns and all the rest of us. And that's not talking. Fight the good fight of faith spiritually with the word of the living God. And remember, if you're saved this morning, what has God done for you? He has chosen you to be what? Let me read what he's chosen you to be. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, therefore endure hardness. Notice the word hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. Notice these words. Who has chosen him to be a soldier. Do you ever stop and think what God has done for you? He has chosen you to be what? Has he chosen you to fall asleep? To quit? He's chosen you to be a soldier. I'm glad I can say with the boys and girls, I'm in the Lord's army. So how can we stop? How can we turn back? When God has chosen us in this world, it's full of sin, it's full of wickedness. God needs people to stand for him. Stand up for Jesus. How can we turn back? We've got to pursue because of our calling. He has chosen us to be soldiers. And remember he said on the verse before this, to endure hardness. So we're to show our commitment. But God has chosen us for this battle. And you may have a battle in Armagh, sowing a seed. It may be difficult, it may be hard, there may be apathy, you may be rebellion, and it may be spoken against on the doors and outreach. Well, so be it. God has chosen us to be soldiers. And we are to pursue. And we are to go on. These men also, their conviction. To these men, if Gideon the job was only half done, so they pursued here to see the overthrow of all of their enemies. Do you believe that Christ's work is finished in the city of Armagh? Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe in our province that God's work is finished? In the south of Ireland, is God's work finished? Not one of us sitting here today believes that. Do you remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded, and lo, I am with you always, listen, even until the end of the world." What has Christ said? We are to go out and preach and witness and evangelize to win to the end. To the very end of the age, or the end of the world. So the job is not done. It's not done in the world. And it's not done in the city of Armagh. It's not done in our province, the land of Ireland. And it's not done. United Kingdom, it's not finished. We've got to pursue. There's still battles to be fought for Christ. There's still souls to be won for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're faint, yet pursuing. That shows our commitment. And I say to you today then, to pursue on. To pursue on. Yet faint, yes. Pursuing, yes. You're not for quitting. Sometimes the devil tells us, put up the white flag. Surrender to the cause. But we're pursuing on. Because the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. They were faint yet pursuing. Can I say it lastly and very quickly? You can see their confidence here in this particular text. Because faint yet pursuing. You see, they were confident. And I want to say two things very quickly about their captain. They had a great captain in Gideon. God had anointed him a captain. He said himself in verse 5 of this chapter, "I am pursuing." He is pursuing. He's not one of these boys who's sitting back and he's telling everybody else to go out and fight. He's leading. He's saying, "I am pursuing." You can see when they fought the battle in chapter 7, he tells them to look on me. And when I blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet. And when I break the pitcher, you break the pitcher. He's leading from the front. They had a great leader. He was not at the back. He was at the front. And that gave them great confidence, didn't it? He says, "I am pursuing." And they're following Gideon. Child of God, this morning, we have a great captain for our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us in this battle. And we're following him. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's our master. And we're following Jesus. Aren't you glad this morning you're following the Lord Jesus Christ? We're following him. We may be weary. But I'm following the Lord Jesus. We follow Christ. So we're confident us today. It's his battle. It's his warfare. All of these things. It's his business. It's his word. Everything about I'm out here today serving Christ. It's his word. It's his cause. And so we're confident of us. And our captain. They were confident of the cause. The cause was of God. It was just and right. The enemies had to be defeated. I ask you today, are you confident of this book? If you're confident of this book, that it's right. I am. There are people burnt at the stake for this word, the word of God. We're confident today that the gospel is right. Saved through Jesus Christ. It's right. We're confident of these things. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We're confident of this. What we're doing is right. It's true. It's the word of God. We're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're not stopping. We ain't stopping. We're going to pursue on. That's the sort of dedication we want, isn't it? Again, I go back to those people in Ukraine. Different battle, I have to say. Terrible thing to go through. We need to pray for them. But they weren't for stopping. You see, Fred, we have a good cause here, the cause of the gospel of Christ. And then, of course, they were confident in the conquest. They were told, of course, a couple of times. Take one instance in chapter 7, verse 7. God says, by 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hands. And so God had told them. He says, you're going to win. They're going to win this battle. Oh, they're like grasshoppers. They were like grasshoppers. But God says, here, you're going to win. And they knew they were going to win. They knew they're on the winning side. And so they went on. And that's true with you and I. The Lord Jesus will save his people from their sins. That's the Bible says. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We are not fighting for the victory. We're fighting in the victory. And if you want to know how it all finishes, read Revelation. And you'll find a great crowd that no man could number, standing, redeemed and washed in the blood of Christ. And they're all home in glory safe. We're in the victory. So we're not stopping. None of us, I trust, will stop. I want to press on. I've learned lessons over the years in my ministry. It's how you end, you'll be remembered. How you end your Christian walk, you'll be remembered. And some people have stopped over the years. I've seen it. We want to press on. We want to be like these men of Gideon. We're faint, yet pursuing. And we're living for the Lord Jesus. And you're glad you're living for the Lord Jesus. We used to live for the world, some of us fellas. The pubs and clubs and all the rest of them. We found Christ as our Savior. Now we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If not, come and put your faith and trust in him today. And if I can help anyone, we'll be glad to speak with you. And come to Christ. But oh, for God's people, I trust you've been encouraged by these 300 men. They're faint, yet pursuing. And they're living on. No better life, no better way to live than to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. We're going to sing a couple of verses of our hymn. Not that one, the next one. When we sing the first and last verse, for the men there on the desk, when you feel weakest, it's a lovely hymn, and we'll stand to sing us together. 557.
Thank you.
I will not be going to the door, as you know, but anyone who wants to speak with me, I'm up at the front here, and we pray God has blessed this word to our hearts. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the great example of these 300 men, faint yet pursued. Oh, give us that spirit, every one of your children today, to be involved in the work of God, in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad, Lord. Oh, we have a great captain, a great savior, a great king who goes before us. Bless the words to the hearts of your people. And may you pray or speak to those who are unconverted, they're not saved. And we pray, Lord, that they might come to Christ this very day. Take us our separate ways to our homes in safety and bless us again tonight here in the house of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.